explain to you real quick.
Do whatever you want. Let's roll.
I'm greedy, bastard.
I hope you're using all this.
So
right
I want
right?
to give you. I want to give you a little bit of a tidbit on how this all happened. Okay. So I've been on Wall Street for 30 years.
Let me just really appreciate you because you've been so supportive of me.
There's no way I can help all the people you've helped, but I want to give you a little bit of a story because we talked a little bit online a couple times, but it's all for a snippet. In 2008, I completely blew up.
Yeah. Blew up in a good way or a bad way?
Bad way. I'd wanted to work on Wall Street since I was a little kid. Right? Mm-hmm. Sort of Warren Buffett mentor. Lou Dobbs, saw it when I was a little kid, 11 years old, wanted to work on Wall Street.
I'm glad you're not Lou Dobbs.
Yeah, I know. I got it. But he was on Moneyline, and I watched it. My experience was getting cable, right? And the first thing I decided to do was, you know, I wanted to do what he did. And I started a fund, and I grew to around $100+ million. Took over my first company, and completely blew up in 2008. One stream of income. Every single thing that you said not to do, I was doing. I mean, I did all the wrong things, right?
You did do something big.
I blew up in 2008, 2009, completely retreated, actually filed bankruptcy in 2009, the day of my birthday. But a year and a half later, a company that I founded was sold for $120 million, Patient Safety Technologies. We did scanning in the sterile field to prevent sponges from left behind in the body. And a bunch of my clients came back and said, you need to restart. It took me 3 more years to do that.
Wow.
I didn't restart. I was retreated. I gained 150, 200 pounds. It was terrible. And there's all of a sudden your book. I'm not a big reader, so I got you online.
So like the audio version?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I started listening to 10X, and then I found Be Obsessed or Be Average, and I thought, who is this fucking guy? And so I had a sort of renewed spirit. I had listened to your book, and I thought, how can I help the most people? The most difficult thing to do in the world is to try to solve this Alzheimer's problem. Uh-huh. I had zero money. No money, not a penny, not a damn dime.
Wow.
I borrowed $5,000 from the guy who first funded me, who said, get back in the business. And I flew down to University of South Florida, and I got a license for an Alzheimer's drug from him. I saw him on TV, and I needed $5 million. And I went and raised $5 million.
Wow.
A year later, they had another drug that they said that they thought would be their Gatorade, but they were so impressed that I raised $5 million, they gave me that license. That license is about to go into patients. November 15th, we expect to be in patients, dosing patients with a drug called Liprosol. Some of this would not have happened if it wasn't for you.
Dude, that's awesome.
If you call the University of South Florida right now, they think it's going to be their biggest drug they've ever done. We think we can help 41 million people with this drug, right?
So 10X got you back in the game.
It got me back in the game in a big way.
Wow.
I was at your boot camp, and I told you you had the greatest model I've ever seen
for
helping
capital, yeah.
the young guy.
Uh-huh.
I was the first biotech Reg A,
uh-huh.
and you're the first Reg A to 50 million.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's ever been done.
Yeah.
And I had attorneys of mine saying he'll never raise any money. Because
Is that what they said?
Yeah. You,
dude, we're oversubscribed.
You used Julian Sidoti, who I know, and I said, this guy's going to raise 100 million. He's going to do it on social media, or excuse me, 50 million.
Yeah.
And so that's my fan story.
Yeah.
And that's why I told Ryan at boot camp, I know he was a little skeptic, but he's also getting hit up by a lot of people. I'll be your biggest investor. And maybe I won't be, because you got a lot of people you know.
Thank you for telling me all that. And I'm glad the 10X rule, you know, brought you back into the game.
Sure.
Because I see a lot of people going through depression. And I know I have in my own life, because I didn't have a game, because I was checked out.
Right.
I was getting a lot of bad information, a lot of bad advice, and I wasn't playing the game every day. And when I don't have anything to do, like after losses, I had a number of losses in my life. And after them, I would go into like, okay, I got to pull out of this space.
Right.
Every time that I did it, when I retreated, I always moved into depression and doubt and you know, just too much thinking about what am I doing wrong? Why am I not in the game? Why are other people doing like? And it caused us so much self-doubt. So the fact that that book did the same thing for me. I was trying to figure out in a time in my life why I wasn't where I thought I should be.
I don't think I can do what you do. There's no way I could teach what Grant teaches, right? You remember at boot camp, I talked to you
totally,
I said,
"Well,
so after boot camp, I just opened up all my social media live, man, and it just went crazy."
Yeah.
And I don't care about the haters, right? And so,
do you want to tell everybody what you and I talked about there? Because I think that's a really good story for people that are getting banged on.
I came back. I bought a New York Stock Exchange company. Unfortunately, that company made power supplies for Bitcoin. And we went from 2,400 investors to 44,000. And then Bitcoin collapsed. And I just got haters like crazy who hated the fact that the stock went down.
it bothered him. Like,
it
like,
bothered
like,
me like something like, awful.
I don't think it's important that the company had a problem, because every company is going to have a problem. I remember the company Nu Skin. They exploded. This was back in the, I guess I was 20, I got, probably 33 years old. And I was actually a distributor with Nu Skin.
Oh, wow.
I love their products. I'm like, these products are unbelievable. Whoever it was, the FTC or whoever regulates network marketing.
FTC.
These guys were blowing up so big, so fast. I think I signed up 200 people under me in 2 months.
Mm.
And I had three other jobs. And they got hit by the FTC, and I'm like, I don't need this. And I retreated from the space. They got through the whole thing.
Right.
They end up being on every exchange now in the world. They're publicly traded in Japan, the United States.
A big.
I think a huge, multi-hundred-billion-dollar company. Mm-hmm. And anybody that would have stayed with them through that time did good.
I've been teaching my kids your message, basically. It's an interesting thing because I have a son. And one of the things that you've changed for this with my son, my 14-year-old son, is he wants to be a professional gamer. And you know what the story is there, right? Oh, you got to go to college.
Right.
The whole genre of, even his mom, you know, she learned from the past, from the parents.
That's
what Gary Vee talks about a little bit, right? You learn from your parents, you bring it forward.
Uh-huh.
You're not modernizing. And so I'm pushing them pretty hard. But I'm wondering from you, you get the message out, but I meet a lot of people that never read the book.
Oh, dude, nobody knows me. Nobody knows me. If people need to know where they're at in their curve too, you know, like the potential. When I started my first business, I was training car dealers.
Mm-hmm.
And I made my first swing around the United States. I was 31 years old. I had some unbelievable information for car dealers. I had it for all businesses, but I didn't know it would apply to other businesses. I made my first swing around the United States. People were loving it. And the guy that was promoting this event, I said, how many more of these do I have? And this goes back to what you're talking about, this self-doubt. My career, my entire life has been plagued with doubt. I don't know that self-doubt comes from losses, even, like I thought, or bad experiences, or people ripping you off, or it comes from people around you sprinkling in the self-doubt.
Mm.
You shouldn't be online. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Oh my God, you went bankrupt. Oh, you got to go low now. Somebody told you all that stuff.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
You know, so I know Gary talks about the parents. The parents aren't the only problem, because you could see two kids come from the same parents. One's super successful and one's not, same parenting. Like, the messaging never changed. One guy squirted through and the other one got trapped somehow. So it's also the surroundings, the friends, the casual experiences, the people around you, the lawyers,
right?
You know.
Oh, they don't want any of that.
Of course
they want me on, because I'm CEO of a New York Stock Exchange company.
Yeah.
That, you can't be on social media. Well, you can. They're the same ones that told me Grant's never going to raise that $50 million. He will.
Yeah, he will. We raised $52 million for Reg A.
Right. Which you got to do another one, right? You got a second one going.
Do you think they'll approve me?
You can do as many as you want. You can only do one in a 12-month period. But every new entity. You can have five entities going.
I still got to be approved.
You can have a Reg A for Florida and a Reg A for Georgia, and you can have 10 at the same time if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I still got to be approved. Yeah.
You got to be qualified. That's the proper
qualified.
Term.
Qualified, whatever. I like approved.
You like approved,
better.
Yeah.
Approved sounds better. But what people don't know is we've raised, how many hundreds of millions have we raised from Reg A?
506C, right?
Yeah, so $250 million has been raised.
You're killing it.
Now, the beautiful thing is it's bought $750 million worth of real estate. This isn't a risk environment. It could do anything but grow. I mean, worst case is we just protect the capital.
Well, I wanted to transition. We transitioned from the personal stuff, the fan stuff, because I am a massive fan.
Yeah, well, I'm a massive fan of yours.
I'm going to do whatever I can to promote anything you do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I got everyone going to GrowthCon. Yeah. I just got a diamond ticket, which I don't go backwards. So there might be another level next year, but beyond diamond.
We got to get you the mastermind, the diamond and the mastermind.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Hang out with all the...
I actually told you this at boot camp, and I had looked at Cardone Capital. I read every single Edgar filing you have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I read every single public document you published.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I told you at boot camp, I think you have the best business model in the space. One of the things that I'm bummed about a little bit, though, is I know a lot about real estate. I was the first... I took Irvine Apartment Communities public.
Right next to him.
I know.
My God.
The first deal I did is...
Donald Brennan, if you guys don't know, he's the...
Irvine Company, yeah.
The Irvine Company is the most successful real estate investor in the United States of America.
So the first deal I did when I went to Dean Witter was I was told, you're going to run Syndicate, and your first deal is Irvine Apartment Communities. I was like 22 years old.
Wow.
And then from there, I did every REIT possible known to man. I think you have the best business model in America.
You did, what do you mean you did REIT?
I was a syndicate manager. I brought them public.
Okay.
So I worked at Dean Witter, and I ran a syndicate. And I was given, hey, here's this prospectus. Go get your brokers to buy this.
Yeah.
And so my job was to promote to the brokers, here's why you got to buy these REITs.
Well, this is
after the 70s where REITs got their ass kicked, right? Uh-huh.
So you want to explain to people, because you're even more sophisticated than I am on this, how Cardone Capital is different from a REIT and why in the 70s REITs got beat up.
Right.
And how Cardone Capital would have...
Well, Cardone Capital, you're a direct investor, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
You're getting that K-1 passed along to you.
Yeah.
And theoretically... you're a permanent investor, but what
in the property, not in a piece of paper,
right?
The REIT is
you
a
own
piece
the
paper.
Property, yeah. And what you do is, if you don't have the time or energy, or you know, you're a doctor, a surgeon. I actually had a doctor call me who wanted to invest with you. He met me at a boot camp, and he said, "I want to put more money." I said, "You should absolutely do it. You don't have the time to manage these properties, right?" So for those people who are accumulating wealth, they're effectively.
I don't want my doctor worried about his real estate investments while he's cutting me open.
Well, they become your partner.
You know, getting a phone call. Hey, my toilet's not working. Dude, I got a chest wide open right now. You're right.
But I think the one thing that I wonder about how you could get the message out, how you and Ryan plan to, is I don't think people realize what the actual returns are. Uh-huh. I don't, now I'll explain to you what I mean by the question. You take people's money and you put it in real estate and you eventually refinance them out. They get the principal return to them.
We've done that. We've done that. I don't know, 8 or 9 times.
Right. So they're actual
and kept them in the properties.
Right.
Like unlike
a REIT,
Blackstone.
Right.
Which just so you guys know what he's talking about, because I all this seems normal to you. I don't think 99% of the people understand.
Well, that's my point though. Is how do you get them to know that? Because you're returning people's capital, and they don't understand that it's an infinite return when they have no money invested.
But where are you going to drop this?
I'm going to drop it everywhere.
Okay, you're going to drop it on YouTube? So you guys comment below. I go buy a piece of property. Because mm-hmm. I know we hear from people. Okay, sure. I'm about to show you David Copperfield shit right here. So we buy a piece of real estate. Actually, I go buy the real estate. I buy it and I get funding. I go to the bank and get a loan on it. So we go to a lender, or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And I say, they know me. I'm a preferred borrower with them. I buy the property. I negotiate the deal, buy the deal. We get the funding for the deal. I put the down payment down on the deal. Boom, we get it stabilized. It's cash flowing. At the point it cash flows, then I say on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, hey guys, I just bought this deal. I own the entire thing. There's no other investors except for this one lender. I got a 10-year note on it. We love the property. Here's the address. It's 95% occupied. Would you like to invest? And then people basically are taking my shares out of the property.
They become your partners.
They become my partners. Okay. And then what happens is we improve the rents over the next 3, 5, 7 years. And at which point we get to a place where I'm like, okay, hey, look, this property's doing better. I'm going to go back to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, wherever I have the loan, and say, hey, would you like guys like, my loan's about to expire in 3 years. Would you guys like to do another loan? They're going to look at the property and say, oh yeah, we could actually, because the rents went up over 7 years, the rents are now 20% higher than they were. We can actually give you a loan for the same amount that you owe plus what you put down. This is the magic act now. We will redistribute, let's say it was $30 million. I'll send $30 million out to our investors. It could be 1, 2, or 20. If you put $1 million in, I'd send you $1 million back. And then you're not gonna pay taxes on that.
Turn a principal.
You're gonna get $1 million check. Your accountant, you're gonna file that. You're gonna say, I got $1 million from Grant. He's gonna be like, yeah, that's not a non-taxable event. And you're gonna be like, dude, shit, I should have given him more money. And he's gonna call me up and say, do I still own the property? And I'm gonna be like, yeah, bro. What percentage? Same percentage. This is where nobody understands. So I want you to comment below. How can I return Todd his money back in full? $10 million, $10 million, $100 million. And he still owns whatever the percentage was before I return him. He would still own that percentage now.
So
if you understand it, please comment below. I do or I don't.
People got to understand it, because that's a difference between Cardone Capital, is that when that money gets returned to you and you're still a partner.
Yeah.
You have an infinite return.
Infinite.
And the SEC doesn't let you put infinite.
I can't put infinite.
There is no unlimited return.
The 15% that we tell people that we're going to return annually, we don't even want to tell people what we think the number is.
Right.
Right? My sister did a deal with me. My brother and my sister did a deal with me. And she's like, my God, that deal's good. I said, what do you think it returns you? She's like, I don't know, about 25% a year. I'm like, no, sis. You don't have any money in the deal anymore.
Infinite.
She put 200 grand in. I gave her 200 grand back. I then gave her another 400,000 on top of that. and she gets a check for $6,000 a month.
So like we're into the land. You're at one point. It looks like 1.426 billion or something like that.
Yeah. Property. By the time you drop this, it'll probably be 1.5.
Okay. So let's say you're at 1.5 billion.
We'll be at 2 billion by 2020.
And what's the plan to get to 11 to 12 billion?
I got to get to 10 billion to run for president, and I want a 10x America because Democrats would buy that deal too.
Yeah, I'd bet on you.
Everybody'd be like, I want a 10x America.
Do you foresee yourself getting to a certain number before you have a chance to sell to a Blackstone?
We already get interest from a lot of the family funds. I mean, how many family funds hit us, Ryan, a week? Several. Hey, we want to see, maybe they just do that with everybody, but.
Family office.
You know, I mean, the news isn't even out on us. It's like, nobody knows me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I was saying earlier. Nobody really knows me.
That big investor that I have that refunded me and gave me the money to go down to Florida, yeah. He's one of the biggest hotel owners in New York City.
Oh, well.
He said, yeah, some guy named Lucas introduced him, some guy in L.A.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, Lucas, man, yeah. Facebook Lucas.
Yeah, but if he knows you.
Yeah, it's getting around. A-Rod called me the other day. A-Rod called me and says, hey, man, how you raising all this money? I said, dude, I don't even have J-Lo.
Right.
Imagine if I had some J-Lo. And he's like, dude, how are you doing it? I said, I communicate with people every day about it.
What's the plan?
The plan is right now we send 2,400 people a check every month. They get a check and they're like, dang. Second check, dang. On time.
Right.
Like you can set your clock by it.
You talk about it every month.
Yeah.
Distribution, well, 1.4.
And when we did it, because the accounting department and the legal department was like, hey, you should distribute every quarter. Or yeah,
they
even
don't want you to do
twice
monthly.
A year. I said, I want to do monthly. That's going to be expensive. I said, yeah, I don't care. But I really want to send people checks so you get a check for $45 or $450 or $4,000 every month, and you got to look at it from Grant Cardone. Me paying people is a marketing activity.
So one of the best things I think you did with by opening up Reg A to everybody.
Yeah.
But this Reg A is going to close.
This Reg A is closed.
I thought I saw you filed another Reg A, Reg A number two, right?
Yeah, taking 5,000 at a time is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
I'm buying a $140 million deal. I don't need the money for the deal.
Sure.
I'm doing people a favor, and sometimes that $5,000, $10,000 investor can be, there's a lot more hold.
So to the average investor out there now who can put in $5,000-$10,000.
Well, they're doing 25, right, Ryan? About 25, 27.
Are you committed to a second fund or not yet?
I'm committed to not being committed.
Okay.
But I'll probably do it just because I'm a good guy. You know, here's the thing, the reason I did it. If I'd have known I was going to make the World Book of Guinness, I would have done it.
It's a pain, I admit. A lot of little investors is really difficult.
Guy gives me $5,000, and this is what he's going to ask me. After I've told the world 5,000 times,
right?
What's my return going to be?
Right.
Dude, 5,000, if I pay 6% cash flow, is $300 a year.
Right.
And then he's going to say, only 300?
Yeah, they unfortunately.
And I'm like, bro, your checking account pays you nothing. You start a checking account in America with $5,000. If you don't do anything, don't add anything, and don't write a check out of it, you will end up with less than $5,000 at the end
of the year.
It'll
go backwards.
It will go backwards. Right. So you're complaining to me about paying you 300. And by the way, when you say it's only 300, that's why people don't have money. It's because they put words like only and just in front of any number.
Well, they see what they see.
Because you give me $300 right now, I guarantee you, I will put it in my pocket. Do you have 300 on?
No.
Because I will never say just 300 or only 300. I say, yeah, shit, I'll take it. Let's roll.
Those people that.
Yeah, 300, because $300 buys $1,000 worth of real estate. So every time I get $100, I look at $100 like, damn, that's $300. I can multiply money immediately. This is what your viewer needs to learn. Like, this is not $100. It's just $100 to you because all you're going to do is spend it. Not you, but them, right? When I look at it, I'm like, $100, if I bought real estate with it, is actually $300 if I can just wait it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm multiplying money. To me, it's magic.
So would you...
Not bad magic. Like Chris Angel, if you're in Vegas, don't go to that show. Terrible.
If someone were to...
Worst magic show I've ever been to.
If someone were to set up a fund and say, hey, Grant, I could send you $100 million and you don't have to deal with the investors... Those smaller investors, maybe that's something you should do.
Maybe.
You don't have to take those calls, right?
I would entertain it, but what I don't want, you know, if it's 100. You know, one of the things, the other reason that we
know where this is going.
So the other reason that we're doing, and I've never said this publicly, but maybe I've alluded to it a little bit, but the other reason that we've done the funding the way we're doing it with Reg A and Reg D is because I had a guy that gave me $20 million. Brian hates me telling this story.
I know it. It's a good story.
So the guy was worth $4 billion. You've already mentioned one of the companies involved in the deal. He's like, hey man, I'll give you $20 million. Let's see what you can do with it. And then he sends his guy over to do the due diligence, which that was fine. And then that turned into, you know, oh, he's buying properties. Then the guy that he sends over, who knows nothing about real estate, by the way, starts having his opinions about real estate and what I'm buying and how much we're paying and da-da-da. And then the questions become more than questions, right? Becomes his opinion and da-da-da. And I'm like, dude, here's your $20 million back. Yeah, and the first time in this guy's entire career, anybody's ever given his money back, it drove him crazy.
He wanted more, probably.
He went livid, man. He went nuclear. He's like, I cannot believe you're giving my money back. I'm like, I don't want all this. So I've never wanted anybody to take such a big position, you know, that they're like, they can dictate terms.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was good for me. So we opened the fund up. So I don't have to do business with a family fund or Blackstone. But if somebody was to come to me and say, hey, I got 100, I promised my wife I'd protect it. Let's go do a deal. You know, I mean, that would take such a position. 100 would buy $300 million worth of real estate.
Right on.
So I would just go find three deals, do them, and let's roll.
So I want to transition to be obsessed or be average. The whole concept, and you said, I'm going to paraphrase, but you basically said, hey, you know, I'll do anything for Elena. I'll do anything for the kids.
Yeah.
But don't take away my dream, right?
Yeah. So you know, when I got married to Elena, I said, look, I'll give you anything. I'll do anything, but I can't. I was old enough at that point to understand that my problem in life was compromising my dreams. I was trying to fit in. I was trying to make people happy. Every time I tried to make other people happy, I ended up being not happy. You know, I tried to fit into being in relationships that didn't work and just wasn't honest with myself. I did that like so many different times. I was like, I was just picking the wrong people. And the reason I was picking the wrong people, it wasn't just because I had a bad picker. I didn't have confidence in my dream. So when I got with Elaine, I'm like, I think you're the right person. Here's the deal. I'll do anything for you. I won't cheat on you. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I will do whatever it takes. I mean, I'll run through walls to take care of my family. But I can't compromise on my dream. I have some ideas about what I can be and who I can be and what I can do. And that's going to take some time away from us. And I just can't compromise. I'd rather be by myself. Because if I do it the other way, I'm going to be by myself anyway. And she's like, I don't want you to compromise your dream. In fact, you know, she's the kind of chick, if I like, hey, I'm going to this workshop, or I'm going to a conference, I'm going to something to improve myself. I think most of us have had this person in our life where you want to go improve yourself and they're terrified that you're going to come back different. Mm. They don't want to go with you, but they're terrified. Oh my God, he's going to come back and he's going to be a different guy. She's like, yeah, go.
I have this, you probably heard this analogy before, that a woman marries a man hoping everything will change and a man marries a woman hoping nothing will change. And I'm not going to get into the
part. I can't say that because I might be running for president.
Oh, well, there you go. But, you know, the woman thinks you're going to, like, you're going to stop partying and stop doing whatever you're going to
do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
The reality is you got to like that person as they are right now.
Yeah.
That was kind of your message, wasn't it?
I also want to know the person's willing to grow. Like, I need to know the people around me want to grow. And because I want to grow. I don't want to be me tomorrow than I am today.
So how much longer do you think you, I mean.
So that was that interview I did recently with that bum up in, on the beach. And he keeps asking me questions from like 20 years ago. I'm like, dude, I'm done with that question. You keep asking me about knock on the door. How can I get in the door? How can I make a sale to you? I'm done with the sales question.
I thought that was, I would be honest with you, I'm not a fan of
yeah. So I'm like, I'm done with the sales question. Why do you keep asking a sales question? Like, if you keep asking the same question over and over, you're never going to evolve your life. That's why you're 55 right. years old and you're still selling pins.
You know, it's interesting, your message talks about not being petty. You don't have to be perfect on social media, and yet that guy's picking apart how many logons you had and card on you, and they don't have card on you. That's what, if you overlay the 10X message with what people say when you watch these videos, you realize that's why they ain't getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was a question about log. I mean, I just don't know where these people come from. They don't look at the.
Yeah, I don't even know how many logons. I think we have over 52 million logins. So I don't know how they would know because I don't even know.
Right.
So, that would be somebody else in my office, which would have access to that data, not me. I didn't even know that was an issue. But as long as you hating on me, you talking about me, you ain't doing anything for yourself. You can't hate on me and go get your own.
So what's
it's impossible.
What's next for
to hunt me and hunt something else?
What's next for Cardone?
This is one thing I do. I don't hunt other people. I go hunt for my family. I'm always on the hunt for my next expansion. I don't have time for, oh, look what they're doing.
I love, by the way, what you did in Sydney, how you had a boot camp kind of on the fly.
Yeah, yeah,
that was
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
All those people responded pretty.
Dude, they loved it, man.
It was amazing.
Australia loved it.
What's next for Cardone?
Australia's one thing. For
Cardone
U?
I'm a big fan of your training.
We're in 12 languages now. I guess maybe some people would dispute that. I just found out this morning we were translating into 12 languages. So we want to. The only reason I would translate to 12 languages is I want to go to China. You know, these other countries. You know, South America. If I'm in English, I'm out. I'm out of the game.
Now, are you constantly updating it? Because
yeah.
I know you got
yeah.
stuff
yeah.
from the
we're,
beginning
we do
to
a
now.
Q&A every week. We do a new Q&A every week where people are asking questions. So we're dropping live Q&A questions. That will also create new content. We're looking at when do we drop real estate content in there. We don't want to confuse people.
I use all this stuff, and it's changed my life. This
what,
is why
I'm
bringing
it up. What do you pay for that?
Well, I have the super version.
You have the corporate version.
Corporate
so
version.
So basically what I do is I mentor and coach his people on problems that are sales related, follow-up related.
Customer service
related. Management. Because not everything's about a sale or what you say or how you say it. Like some things just take time. And that means I got to follow somebody up a first time, a second time, a third time, a fourth time. It just.
From the time I read your book, we went from 4 employees. We have 300 worldwide now in 3 countries.
Wow.
And I'm trying to get everybody on it. You can tell when people don't want to change, they resist.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
one of the things that I like about it is, like I said, it's not a commercial. I use it. Is I love the fact that your coaches monitor their behavior, that they're using it every day and give you feedback as a manager.
Yeah.
So you can say, hey, so we've made it part of our process when we onboard someone. You're going to have to go through this training. And if you don't do this many modules,
you have
a
reporting
day,
and accountability. We right. know how many logons we got. We know how many people looked at a video and bailed, or looked at a video and finished it, or turned it on and just walked away from it. I mean, there's a test question at the end of it. It's all reported, it's recorded. We know who looked at the deal. That's just on our corporate version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also have a public version for entrepreneurs. I think we have that in, I think, about 12,000 people subscribe to that right now.
It's not expensive either. It's like maybe $100 a month, right?
Yeah, I don't know. 90 exactly. bucks? I think we moved it back to $14.95 or something.
All right.
It's a deal if you use it.
Well, we use it.
Yeah.
What's in terms of the 10X rule?
Yeah.
When's the last update? What do you expect next? Is there something else in the
yeah,
works?
Yeah, there is. We're thinking about the 10X thing. Now I'm thinking about 10X America, man.
Really? Is that, are you actually, are you right now going to say that you're committed
10X
to
America, man. Let's 10X America, man. Who's tired of the, I'm tired of the, let's make America great again.
Wow.
Now the question is, should I run as a Democrat or a Republican? Because I could go either way.
So have you told anyone you're going to run for president?
How would you think it would be best for me to run as a Democrat or a Republican? I hate both the parties piss me off so much.
Yeah, there's
there's things that I like about both parties, but I know I can't run as an independent if I was going to run. You got to run as one of the
you
other.
We have a system, unfortunately, you got to be on one side or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd do that.
I was watching the Democrats the other night, and I'm like, you know, I grew up as a Democrat.
Hmm.
John Kennedy.
Lake Charles.
Yeah. Like we grew up in a, you know, house was, I don't know, 40 grand or something, and my mom, you know, my dad died when I was 10, and we lived across from a school because it was convenient. My dad had died. My mom sold the house we were in. She bought a house across the street from the high school. Why would you do that? Because your kid's about to go to junior high and high school. So it was like, I just walk across the street. That was convenient for my mom, right? She was worried about money all the time. So I grew up understanding about not having stuff. But then I'd watch these Republican guys getting all rich. And I'd be like, man, I want to be rich.
Mm.
So anyway, that was back in the day of Kennedy and aspiration. So I probably relate more to the Democrat than I do the Republican.
Mm.
But I also want to protect my stuff, too. Okay. I don't yeah. like being taxed too much.
That's why you moved out of California.
Yeah.
That was brutal for California. Did they follow you around for a while after that?
More people followed me. Oh, yeah. Three audits. Three California audits.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to let you go.
No.
They don't want. They want to get your money.
They want that money.
Right. But you've been gone long enough. It doesn't matter now.
California should have. No, I'm good. So California should have dropped the taxes back then. That's what they should have done. They would have had it. They would have had so much. They have negative migration out of California right now. And well, New York. And
Elizabeth Warren wants to charge you a tax.
See, that's what I was thinking about that night. I said, what if I was on the stage with Elizabeth and Biden and these guys talking about phonographs? Okay. And I'd be like, hey, guys, all you guys. Like, I would just, you know, anyway, it would be good TV at the very least.
So is there another book coming?
Yes.
It'll be big.
You think?
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will be. You okay. got a lot of people excited
watching,
to get your message.
Watching.
So let's switch to GrowthCon for a second. How sold out are you? Where are you at with GrowthCon? And
GrowthCon.
I know you announced one guest, right?
Last year was 35,000 people. And you know, if I announce one guest, this is just going to get better from there, right?
Right.
Last year we did 35,000 people on Super Bowl weekend. This year we
People thought you were crazy.
Oh, totally.
And they all said, yeah.
Who does an event on Super Bowl weekend?
You do.
And sells it out.
Right.
Right. So 35,000 people last year. We're going to make it smaller this year. So there's going to be like a fourth of that in the room.
Hmm.
Much smaller event, much more intimate, but still big.
Right.
Still big, still crazy. Unbelievable guest, like top of the food chain stuff. There's only four levels of seating. Last year there was like 9 levels of seating. There's 4 levels. 3 of them are on the floor, and then 1 of them is around the stadium. And then the parties are going to be insane. I mean, it's going to be truly a 10X, almost like a rock star, rock concert, business, entrepreneur event.
I noticed you and I were on Instagram one time. I was watching, and all of a sudden, let's go live. I noticed that a lot of people that follow the 10X movement want a network. You're really creating a giant network of people that want to do that.
Yeah, you know, I know guys out there that are, you know, superstar, got great, you know, big followings and... But it's about them. I really wanted to make something. This 10X movement's not about just, oh, come see my event. I collaborate with a lot of people, have a lot of partners in the space. I probably have more partners than anybody else in the social influence space as an influencer. I put a lot of people on stage and flow them a lot of power. And I want the audience, the 10X nation, the 10X movement, I want these people to connect and do business with one another. It's not just about flowing me money. The new game for us at our company is to send people more money than they send us.
I can see that.
So, I you know, the way to make a true fan is to send them money every month. Is Elizabeth Warren sending you money every month? Is Joe Biden sending you money every month? Is Donald Trump sending you money every month? What if I sent you money every month, dude? I'm talking about, that's an easy run.
I want you to know something. I'm gonna tell you a true story about the way you go forward with things. I told my whole crew, I said to him, Grant's coming to Anaheim. We're going to do a podcast. I had not even asked you yet. I said, Grant's coming. You better be ready. I want cameras ready. I want everything ready. Willie, who's the CEO of my media business.
Willie,
said,
you're the man, dude.
Willie said, I'll get it all ready for you, Todd. And you hadn't said yes yet.
Yeah.
10X.
I always say yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Huge fan of your success.